about that. Well, I've been to South Africa actually last year, so the South African language and their pronunciation, I really love it, so it was good to hear some of that. And I'm going to share a bit about my time in South Africa with OM. I hope that one of you may know Operation Mobilization. It is an organization that sends out and wants to equip missionaries, and that's what I've been doing in South Africa. They had a mission discipleship training, and it was focusing on like learning some foundations within the Christian life and as well equipping for cross-cultural missions. And as I was there in Pretoria, one of the big cities in South Africa, we were there, we were living on a campus, and we had teachings on the campus, and then we went to different places within South Africa. We went to up in the north, Kasankulu, which was kind of a rural area. We went to Durban, which was more south, and we spent some time in an Indian community. We went to Polokwane, which was also a rural area, and then we stayed for a while in the inner city in Pretoria, and that's what I want to share a bit about. I think you all know these words. Now I'll read it for you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we were in Pretoria, we went to the inner city of Pretoria. We had the opportunity to meet different kind of people. We got to know homeless people, we got to know street children, and we also got to know the ladies of the night. We used the word ladies of the night because it sounds much better than prostitutes. But we were in a position that we could actually meet these women who were selling their bodies and were abused by whoever it was. And at one point we were walking in one of the streets. I was together with Bronwyn, which was a friend from South Africa, and two other people. And we crossed a bar, and next to the bar there was like an apartment. And we knew that in that apartment were a lot of rooms where these women, they were kind of living there, but it was just a small room. And when we were crossing the barn, we were thinking, well, should we go in? Should we just talk with these women, ask them how they are doing, if we could help them in whatever way, because we were only like 2 weeks in the inner city of Pretoria. And we thought, we felt a bit scared actually to get inside and to come into that unknown situation, in that unknown part of Pretoria. But then finally we decided, well, we will just go inside. So we went back across the road and we got into the bar. And the first woman that I met was Bridget. So that was really nice. So we had immediately like a connection with each other. And she invited me and Bronwyn to come into her flat. So we went inside and we got into her apartment. And that was actually really a good time to for her to share a bit about her life story. She told us what the reason was she got into prostitution, and what her desire was as well, that she really wanted to get out of the prostitution, but she didn't know how to get out of it. We spoke with one another about love and what does it mean to be loved, and how does that influence your life as well. So during that week we were able to meet one another just a couple of times. And I remember like the last time that we met with one another in her flat. There were, in the meantime, there were like different kind of women who came as well, and they just catched up with us as well. And at one point we shared a bit about Isaiah 54, and I will just read that piece for you. That says, for your maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name, the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. And I said a bit to them like that, if it says here your maker is your husband, that means that Christ really wants to fulfill all the desires of our heart, that he really wants to be in the fullness of our lives. And I think their longing for love is really something that we can experience as well in our lives. That we, there is something in our hearts that is empty, and the only way to fulfill that is that Christ will come in and that He will fulfill all the desires of our heart. And I think a lot of times we can just put rubbish in our heart, and we'll just put, we'll buy things, or we will go shopping, or we will watch films or DVDs. Or I don't say that is a lot of things. I don't say that is all wrong, but I do say that there is something in us which cannot be fulfilled unless that Christ is coming into that part of our lives. I know that that women, she shared, Bridget was her name, so she shared as well at the end of that conversation that, well, you guys, you came to this place, and I know that one time God is going to ask me, what did you do with this conversation? He's going to ask me, well, I've sent my people to your place, but how did you respond? And that really touched me, like the way she was able to see her responsibility in answering this invitation. And this invitation is coming to all of us every time, every day, over and over again. An invitation to love and to be loved. And as I'm like walking this journey now for a couple of years, I can just see and feel how often I don't accept that invitation, or when I find it hard to accept the invitation. And as Christ is willing to give this invitation every time over and over again, we may just accept it, and we can grow in it as well. I think the Westminster Catechism, I hope I pronounce it right, says it really nice when it says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I suppose that these two are the same. As we glorify God, we will enjoy Him. And as we enjoy Him, we will glorify Him. So I hope that all of us, that we will continue walking the journey with Christ and to continue to accept the invitation that He gave us.
Bridget, stay there. I'm just going to ask you a couple of extra questions, if I may. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, did I? Just say a little bit about your background, your work background, your family background, just so people know a little bit about you.
I grew up in a Christian home in Holland, and I come from actually like the Dutch Reformed Church. It's not like as you know it here in England, but it has like the Reformed traditions. Yeah, that is kind of my background. I studied social work in Holland, and I finished my study in 2008, and then I got like some working experience in Holland and also like some short-term trips to like other countries.
Yeah. And you came to Redcliffe for what purpose, and what do you think you might do after that?
This year I joined Interserve, and Interserve is an organization that sends out missionaries in the Arabic and Asiatic countries, and they do that mainly out of their profession. So that's what my desire is as well, to go into another country, probably South Asia, and work there in my profession.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Bridget. Thank you for sharing so helpfully. That's and so there's so much of a challenge too. A little known fact about Bridget is that she is a pretty good footballer. I watched her one day. I was very impressed. I'm too old to play now, but I would never have tried to have tackled her anyway. But that's good. Naomi's going to share in a moment, but I did just want to say as well, Wayne reminded me that about two or maybe 3 years ago, Liam's husband came with me. I don't know whether you remember Liam. He had this very dramatic story of how God had completely, utterly transformed his life from being a drug addict who had indeed tried to commit suicide on a number of occasions, and yet God had come in and rescued him in a very significant way. He, I think he was engaged to be married, or was he simply going out with Hannah? I can't remember now, but he and Hannah got married later that same year, I think, and they've now got two little ones. And he's working at a drug rehabilitation centre near Kidderminster. I was trying to remember exactly what it was called, but it's not so far from here. And God is using him in very significant ways. We see him occasionally at college. He turns up for a day of study in the library and that sort of thing. And he's going on well with God. So if you remember Liam, be encouraged that he continues to walk with God, and he and Hannah are doing really well. I mentioned Redcliffe. I brought just a couple of prayer diaries. Some of you get these prayer diaries directly, I know, but I brought a half a dozen copies of the current prayer diary, which I put on the seat at the back, along with a couple of other leaflets. We value your prayers for us. We always value the prayers of local churches for the work of the college. In particular, at this time, we're in the middle, as a lot of other private colleges are, well, indeed, publicly funded colleges as well, for that matter, having to go through a very significant thing called the Quality Assurance Agency, who we have to provide certain information for in order to be able to get students from outside of the EU to be able to study at the college. The visa situation has been increasingly difficult in the last few years, and they're imposing more and more stringent rules on colleges like Redcliffe. And so in the prayer diary at the beginning, there's a mention of that for prayer. We're now through the first phase of this new registration that we have to do, but there's a much bigger phase to come, a much more costly phase too, for that matter. It's we didn't have a lot of notice of it, and the government is charging us over £20,000 for the privilege of going through the hoops that we need to jump through in order to get this status of a highly trusted sponsor, which will enable students from outside the EU to study. So it's quite a big thing for us. So we'd value your prayers for that. Do take a copy of the prayer diary if you'd like to. There's a few at the back. That would be great. Naomi, come and share with us. Naomi, I had hoped originally was going to be able to sing for us, but she's got a really bad cold, so sadly she can't do that, but another time maybe. She's got a beautiful voice, but we'll hear your testimony anyway. Thank you, Naomi.
Yeah, sorry if I sound a bit stuck up. I don't normally sound that, but I'll try. So a bit about me. I'm 21. I'm in my second year at Redcliffe, and I'm originally from Leicestershire. I grew up on a farm with my mum and my dad. I have two older sisters and a brother, and it's really beautiful. I kind of struggle living in Gloucester sometimes because I've never lived in a city before. But yeah, I have quite a stereotypical testimony, I guess. I grew up in a Christian family, and I always knew about God, and I never really doubted his existence, really. And then when I was 9 years old, I went on a children's holiday camp, and I just had a really basic gospel talk and realised that I needed to choose to follow Jesus for myself. So I guess, as we always say to children, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and asked him to take away my sin. But obviously at that age, I had quite a limited understanding of what that meant. And it wasn't until I was about 16 years old that I really began to grasp the idea of having a relationship with God. And for me, that's when it started to get really exciting. So yeah, to move the story on a bit, I finished school, I did my A-levels, and then I had a gap year. I didn't go anywhere exciting. I was just in Leicester working to try and save up some money to come to Redcliffe. So I worked for the first few months, and then for the rest of the time, I was at home looking after my mum, and I was just running the house, basically doing the cooking and the cleaning, because my mum wasn't very well. And then last September, I came to Gloucester to start my first year a study at Redcliffe. And I guess to give you an idea of who I was when I arrived, I was 19, I was really shy, even more shy than now, and I was really unconfident. But inside, I was just really excited about having the opportunity to learn more about God and to know about him more. I was just, yeah, it was really exciting. And I was quite interested in mission, and I knew probably when I finished Redcliffe, I would go into some sort of full-time mission work. But it wasn't really my main focus. I just really wanted to know God more. Yeah. And in some ways, when I came last year, I still would have called myself like just a young person, or maybe a very young adult. I'd had very limited life experience and a really sheltered upbringing on this farm in the middle of Leicestershire, just with my family. But I was really looking forward to having the opportunity of just becoming an independent person and finding out who God had made me to be. So for the first few months last year, up to Christmas, I had an absolutely amazing time at college. I was living with Christians, a lot of them similar age to me, and that was completely new for me because my home church had no young people in at all except for my family. So to be with Christians my age was like a really rare experience. And I also really love to learn, I love reading, and it sounds really geeky, but since I was about 16 or 17, I really love to read theology books and missionary stories and stuff. And before I came to Redcliffe, I used to just pick a Bible topic sort of once a month, and something that I didn't really know much about, like, I don't know, spiritual gifts or something. And I'd just spend my spare time looking through my Bible, trying to find answers, and working my way through my very small collection of theology books. So to be at Redcliffe, where we have, I don't know how many thousands of books, and I was having lectures every day, and I was living in a Christian community, and it was just overwhelmingly amazing. It was fantastic. And then after Christmas, I can't really say what happened, but just something happened, and it was really awful. And it kind of just kind of messed up my life really for the next 3 months. I couldn't really study because I either didn't have the time or I just couldn't really concentrate. So I really lost out on something that I really loved doing. And I became really isolated from the community because of what happened. And inside I was just so sad and so hurt. And I'd never experienced anything like that before. I just had this really little sheltered upbringing on a farm. And to be in the situation that I was in, I just didn't know what to do. It was kind of crazy. But we always say that God uses everything for good, and he really did. And in that time, I saw aspects of God's character that I'd never seen before because I'd never had these experiences. So actually, even though it was really hard, I did get to know God more, and that was really exciting. And then it got to Easter, and it was time to go on my block placement. So everybody at Redcliffe who's doing the degree does 6 weeks of a placement, quite often abroad, with a mission organisation so that we can get an experience of cross-cultural work. So here was me, I was now 20, I had no passport, I'd never left the UK, and I had the opportunity to go on a mission placement. I was like, oh my goodness. So my passport arrived in February, and I was just praying about where God wanted me to go, and it's kind of a long story, but God confirmed that he wanted me to go to Belgium. And I was like, really? Not exactly what I was thinking of. I mean, it has great chocolate, but other than that, I'm not really sure. But actually, by the time I came to leave, I was really excited because, for some reason, whatever reason it was, I knew that that's where God wanted me to go for those 6 weeks. And that somehow he was going to use it for something. So actually it was kind of exciting. So I went to Belgium for 6 weeks, and it was just a life-changing experience. I'm a different person having spent those 6 weeks in Belgium. And I was working with OM, Operation Mobilisation, and a Belgian organisation called Serve the City. And I arrived on a Wednesday, my first time in a different country, and I went on the Eurostar because I didn't dare get on a plane. And then the next day I had a meeting with my supervisors, and they just said, okay Naomi, tell us about your experience in Christian work so that we can use you to the best of our ability. And I was like, well, I don't really have any experience. I was like, I've done Sunday school, and I've done holiday clubs, and like holiday camps for children. I don't really like children that much, so I'd rather not do Christian work. And then the only other experience that I have is with street pastors. So when I came to Gloucester last September, I joined street pastors. Basically, if you don't know what they do, they go out on a Friday night from 10 o'clock at night till 4 o'clock in the morning, and they just try and help and witness to the people who are in the pubs and clubs. And even for me, that was like a really crazy thing to do because I'd never even been in a pub before. And so to witness to a drunk person was just kind of a bit scary. So I told them about this and I really loved doing it. So I was telling them all about it and they just said, "Wow, this sounds brilliant. Can you help us set up a team like it?" And I was like, "Well, it took kind of a year to set up the team in Gloucester, the people who organised it." And they said, "Oh no, it's okay, you have 6 weeks, you'll be fine." So, along with a few other things, I was basically setting up this new organisation that would run street teams in Leuven, which was the city I was based in. So I had to write the aims and the mission statement, and then I went to see the local police just to try and tell them about it, and met with the church leaders to try and recruit people, and then we had to send our application to the council. So we applied and they said, "Oh, you're going to have to wait a long time because we really need to think about this." So I never got a chance to go out with a team. It wasn't ready in 6 weeks and I kind of knew that it wouldn't be. But just at the end of my placement, I was able just to hand over everything and just say to my supervisor, "If you want to keep this idea going, it's in the running." And it was just amazing to think that I really have no experience apart from this one thing, and God was able to use that. And then the other thing I was doing, I was meeting up with a Chinese university student who was studying in the city where I was based. And she got in contact with a church that I was going to and just said, "I'd like to find out more." So they said, "Oh, Naomi, can you go and just meet with her and talk with her?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, I've never had such an open opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus." So I met up for a drink with her and we ended up having another drink. And then we had lunch and we just kept talking and she was so interested. And then the next week we met up and she emailed me and said, "Oh, can we meet earlier because I have so much to talk to you about." And it was just fantastic. It was like God was really doing something in her life. And the fact that I was able to see that and God somehow used me in what he was doing is just amazing. I'm just like, well, who am I for God to reveal himself to another person through me? It was just amazing. And then 2 days before I was due to leave Belgium, I was just writing in my journal. And I was looking back and I put, "Today is the happiest day of my life." And I was just looking back over the whole placement and I saw how God had used me. And yeah, he placed me in a team of young women who were sort of similar age to me. So I had a really fantastic time with them. And I went from being really isolated at college because of what happened to being in this team of young women who were excited about mission. And I got to do so many things that I'd never done before. And God really healed a lot of the pain from earlier in the year. And I was doing my quiet time and I was reading Psalm 66. And it says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. We went through fire and water, but you have brought us out to rich fulfillment." And that verse is kind of a summary of my first year at Redcliffe. I really feel like I went through fire and water. But then I also went through Belgium, and it really felt like God brought me out to rich fulfillment. And I think because I'd experienced the sadness of what happened at college, the joy of being in Belgium was just even greater. And I kind of realised over the whole year that as a person, me, I'm just Naomi, I'm from a farm in the middle of nowhere, I don't really have any life experience or anything, but I have a value as a person to God, and he wants to be at work in my life, and he wants to teach me things, and change me so that I can reflect Christ, and yeah, not just reflect Christ in what I do, but just in who I am, and yeah, and so sometimes he's refining us through really, really hard stuff, but also through really awesome stuff. And I kind of feel like I experienced the two extremes last year. So here I am today. I'm just in awe of who God is and how much he loves me, and just that he would even reveal himself to me is just amazing. And when I started Redcliffe last year, I was kind of excited about mission, kind of interested. And now I'm just like, oh my goodness, mission. And yeah, so I'm kind of hoping that at the end of my 3 years at Redcliffe, God doesn't call me to a country where I have to live in secret or something. Because when I'm talking to people, I find it quite hard. not to talk about Jesus really openly. So yeah, I'd quite like to be in an open country, but I know that God has it in his hands, and I guess whatever he calls me to, or wherever that's going to be, or however I get there, whatever I go through, I know that he is refining me as silver to reflect Christ in who I am and in what I do. So yeah, thank you for letting me share with you today.
I think following those two testimonies, you hardly need a sermon, do you? But sadly, you're all going to get one. Thank you so much, Naomi, and again, Bridget, for sharing so well. It's a thrill for me to hear that from Naomi. I knew quite a lot of what she was going to share in different ways, but just to hear that, a life completely transformed and in the way that she described, and it's been thrilling. Pray for her, would you? She's also just been voted student chairperson, so she has that responsibility on her shoulders this year. But God is certainly at work in her life. So thank you both very much for sharing. I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to sing a song, and then we'll look at God's word together briefly before we conclude. So let's pray together for a moment. Father, we thank you for lives given over to you. We've heard from Bridget and from Naomi, and recognize in what they've shared with us something of the work of your Spirit in them, and how you have shaped them and molded them and transformed them and used them in ways that have even surprised them. And we thank you that that's what you want to do in all of our lives. And we pray that that might increasingly be so, no matter how long we have walked with you, whether it's just for a little while or whether we have known you for many years. Lord, we pray that you will help us to have lives that day by day are transformed by your Spirit. And speak to us through your word as we read it together in a moment or two, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.